Blog Talk Radio.
Texas on Thursday, October the 21st, with the good music of my good friend Carlos Guedes. We get another show underway. Today we have the great honor and the great pleasure of chatting with Leslie Eastman. Leslie, of course, a great friend of our show and also a contributor to Legal Insurrection and a lady who always has a lot of good things to say. So let me say hello all the way in California to our friend Leslie. How are you, Leslie?
Hey, happy to be with you on another night, and I want to wish you and everyone in your audience a very happy Halloween season. Our show is a little earlier than normal because I am leaving next week, but I wanted to catch you and wish a happy Halloween before I left on my next trip.
Well, Leslie, what would Halloween be without hearing from you? You've become
an
annual.
It would be a sad.
Yeah, you've become my annual Halloween message. So it would be it would be very strange to have a Halloween without hearing from the wonderful Leslie Eastman. Well, Leslie, you've had before we get into all these issues, and there's so many of them. You've had a little fun here. You've been traveling a bit, so you want to share some of that with us?
Yeah, I'd love to. Since my son is now away in college, I took advantage and had my husband arrange for a fall college trip. Having grown up in Michigan, it is the autumn season I miss most, with all the beautiful colors and the cool, little bit of a cool temperature bite to the air, you know, apple cider, pumpkins, that sort of thing. So my husband very kindly took me to Utah, where we you took a look at Dinosaur National Monument for the first time and drove around the Wasatch Mountains and the Park City area to spectacular fall color. And we originally thought we were going to do more of a driving trip, but we decided to fly to Seattle for part two in the North Cascades, which I have to say was astonishingly beautiful. They call that area in Washington the American Alps, and it truly is the American Alps. It's got that very gorgeous mountain scenery. Colors were spectacular there. And then we went to Mount Rainier, both because we love geology and volcanoes, but also for more for color. We're not disappointed. Had a fabulous time. It was great seeing that part of the country, and just really great people. And for the most part, no masks in Utah. Mask homage only when you went inside to certain stores and places in Washington. But for the most part, once you got out of the city of Seattle, masks were kind of, there but not there. So, around the country, getting a little different feel for where people are in their pandemic thinking. But really grateful for the opportunity to visit some of the country.
Yeah, I think this is one of the amazing things, and people who have traveled like you and your husband did can agree with what I'm about to say, is that when you travel the country, you realize how beautiful it is, how beautiful the country is when you get away from the cities and so on. And it really always left me wondering, you know, when Lewis and Clark had that great expedition, when they came out west and they visited all those places on behalf of President Jefferson and the Congress, and they came out here. Imagine how beautiful it must have been for them to see all of that nature. And the amazing thing is that not much of it has changed. I mean, what you saw is probably not that much different from what they saw, Leslie.
Yeah, well, that's good and bad in a way. Well, it is great that we have so many places of natural beauty. Unfortunately, our federal government has lopped off a great deal of land for itself and is not allowing it to be developed, which was a topic I recently touched upon in my column, Legal Insurrection. There's got to be a balance between setting aside vast tracts of lands for nature and preserving nature, which is great,
right,
but also balance with our needs for mining, for natural resources, because plainly, as you see, supply shortages, gas prices rising, inflation spiking ahead, I think we have lost a great deal of sense of balance, and there's definitely responsible ways to get resources out of land without butchering it and letting, you know, it, but it, you know, it, we can't just be living as primitives anymore.
Right.
We really do need to start thinking about a proper balance between the two.
No, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%, and we'll get to your column in a few minutes. Now, how is your son, Blake? Tell us about him.
Blake is doing phenomenally well. I'm so proud of him. He is got a research project involving a telescope, so he pops into the telescope and collects data on campus, and he's been doing research on Fridays and Saturday nights until 2:30 in the morning.
Mm.
So, you know, and he's coming home from this, so we're getting real excited to have him home for the holidays, doing as well. And thank everybody for your prayers and support, because I'm sure that's really helping him go along and succeed as much as he is at the academy.
Yeah, what a wonderful young man he is. And you and your husband should be very proud of the young man that you've raised, who has a tremendous future, I know. He's going to make you even prouder as time goes by. Well, Leslie, let's get into some of the topics of the day. You know, you always find something interesting, and there's always something very interesting when we talk. And did you know that this is International Pronoun Day? And now, somebody at Legal Insurrection wrote about this as well. I don't think it was you. I think it was another lady there who wrote about this.
No, it was one of my colleagues.
Yeah, wrote about International Pronoun Day. And there are times, Leslie, in this world, or in the planet that we're living in, or in the country as it is right now, there are times when I feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone episode. You know, whether it's International Pronoun Day, or whether it's removing a statue of Thomas Jefferson in New York City Hall, there are times when you say to yourself, no, this is not real. I must be watching a Twilight Zone episode, Leslie.
Yeah, no, it's been very difficult to follow the news since Biden took over. Yeah, I wouldn't say he was elected. I think he took over. But that's neither here nor there. And it seems that our government feels empowered to really sock it to the average American citizen. And being forced to submit to the inanity is another way for them to really hone in and really try and dominate us. It, you know, it used to be by the people, for the people, but now it's in spite of the people and against the people. And it is very, very difficult to see abnormality, mental illness being celebrated and forced upon as normal. And I can only hope that there will be a sea change in the next coming elections, because I do not think regular Americans are going to tolerate long military and State Department and officials who are supposed to be acting at the behest of American people to piss on the beliefs of many Americans, at the same time not do the job of protecting Americans, especially on the foreign setting, as they've been assigned to do. What, you know, when you look at China, say what you will about President Xi, but President Xi is not acting against the culture. He's not acting against his country. Yeah, he's a thug, but at least you get the sense he's proud of China and the culture of the Chinese people. I don't get the same sense of anybody in the current administration. I think that is very troubling. And
absolutely.
And why, when you look at the current news, perhaps the biggest sign of encouragement comes from the parents who are protesting against critical race theory, the people fighting back against the State Department. The reason I found out about it is that Twitter yesterday was nothing more than one mock after another at the State Department for actually promoting that as a tweet. It's embarrassing. And how much longer can it really continue?
Well, I don't think it will too much longer, because I think people are really up to, as my mother used to say, they're up to the last hair on their head. And I think people are really, really fed up with it. I really do. I hear it all the time. People are fed up with it. They're fed up with, like you say, the critical race theory. I thought it was very interesting. Did you have a chance to, speaking of critical race theory, did you have a chance to watch, I don't watch the regular show, The View, but there were some clips on the internet. Former Secretary Rice was on that show talking about critical race theory, and I thought she had a wonderful explanation of her position on critical race theory, saying, you know, making a white person feel bad or guilty about it, it's not the way to fix this thing. I'm paraphrasing what she said, of course, but I really thought, you know, she made a lot of sense. Did you have a chance to catch what she said, Leslie?
No, but I did review a little bit about what we have an article at Legal Insurrection on this specific topic. Condoleezza Rice schools the ladies of The View on critical race theory. And again, if you haven't seen it, please head over there. They've got her appearance on the show and analysis. So instead of being forced to watch the rest of the ladies of View, you can hone in on Condoleezza Rice.
Right.
And I think the point is, when was it decided it's a good idea to fight racism with even more racism?
Right.
And, it goes against the basic principles of what I learned, is that you want to treat people based on the content of their character and not the color of the skin.
Absolutely. Well, that was the I Have a Dream speech. Remember that? That was the I Have a Dream speech.
And you can't – how is a seven-year-old learning about privilege and being made to feel bad white going to enhance their positivity, enhance their desire to learn, and contribute to any other feeling other than hostility? – And this is creating the race, you know, challenges that people have been accusing, you know, they've been expecting, but it hasn't happened until you started really targeting people and their kids. I think that was the line in the sand, when you start really drilling down and making kids feel bad about themselves. What about the anti-bullying? What about that? Did we forget all about, you know, not bullying kids in school? Oh, what, we can now because they're white? How stupid is that? So yeah, Condoleezza Rice, you know, probably a little bit disappointment in terms of politics, but when you're talking about somebody who came, you know, with challenges and background, rose on every single platform, every single occasion, and even manages to make it on The View and schools them with dignity, you can't say that promoting critical race theory is winning. And again, I want to encourage everybody to go to Legal Insurrection. We are actually having a fundraising drive now, and it is leading the challenge against critical race theory. And what you have to understand is Professor William Jacobson has been on the forefront of some court cases involving critical race theory. And he's hired a few students to go ahead and put together a critical race theory site. So you can look at the critical race theory approaches of all the institutions of higher learning, and they're hoping it expanding to K through 12 schools, and they've got some amount of other information out there on institutions between K through 12. So really we're developing, we've got everybody under the microscope. We're looking at create the diversion and inclusion programs and how they impact the students in individuals, institutions, and we're hoping to inform parents they can make a fully informed decision about the kind of schools they send their children to.
Right. No, I agree. I think that this movement by the mothers and the fathers is one of the best things that has happened in quite some time. And I was listening to some information today. There's some polling data out there that is asking people what some of their concerns are. And one of the highest ones is people saying, I'm concerned about what my kids are learning in school. And that is really good news. That is good news. That tells me that this message is getting out there. And I know here in Texas, we have made critical race theory, you cannot teach it in Texas. The legislature took care of that. But, you know, before we go on break, Leslie, the one thing, did you ever think growing up, even 10 years ago, did you ever think that they would remove a statue of Thomas Jefferson? You know, it's one thing to remove Robert E. Lee. I'm not defending that. I think removing statues is stupid. But Thomas Jefferson, I mean, that is so out of reality that sometimes you want to say to yourself, am I really watching this, or is this a Twilight Zone episode? I'm expecting Rod Sterling to stop into the show at any moment, Leslie.
Yeah, it's because we have people who basically hate this country, in charge of this country, and they think that it's a display of their power over the regular person. And history as a tool, erasing history so they can put their own little doctrine in place. And it's extremely disturbing, and it's heartbreaking. President Donald Trump warned everybody when those statues came down in the heat of the BLM drama and protests, when those statues came down, he warned everybody that the next statues to go might very well be
right.
Jefferson, Lincoln, Washington. And here we go. Here is Jefferson, and there have been like statues of Teddy Roosevelt that are under mm-hmm. attack from
right.
the being nothing more than a president. And yes, Jefferson owned slaves, and that is literally imposing your cultural attitudes on a people of the past,
mm-hmm.
and that is ridiculous. You. What Jefferson and Washington and the founding fathers did was create a magnificent country. And while they were flawed, you also cannot judge them by the standards of today. You take the great thing that they did and you highlight that. And
right.
just because you have a statue of Jefferson up does not mean you like slave owners. No, that we evolved out of that. But you want to do an homage to the people who started this here. And quite frankly, you know, the country that's being created is not one I want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to live in where you can have statues of Jefferson and Washington up.
Right.
I personally, you know, Robert E. Lee was fighting for his state. And yeah, the Civil War sucked. So I'm not opposed to having Robert E. Lee statue. I think that when we take the Robert E. Lee statues down and some of the other Confederate generals out there, we piss on the people of those states and the history they might like to celebrate. You know, I don't think it's an homage to the fact that they like slavery, but there's a lot of... When Lincoln healed us from the Civil War, he made certain that none of the Southerners were going to get tried for crimes or thrown in jail for treason beyond, you know, because he wanted the nation to heal up.
That's
and
right.
the people now who are doing this want the opposite. They want the nation to be torn asunder, and they're doing a hell of a good job of it.
That's right. That's right. You're exactly right. They are. And they're dividing us more than ever before. And I would argue, before we take a break here, I would argue that perhaps racial relations have never been worse, because we've reached the point now where people are afraid of talking to each other. They're afraid of, gee, if I say this, what's going to happen to me? And in a weird sort of way, we're more segregated now than we've ever been. And that's not healthy. That's not good for the country. You know, we fought against segregation in the 1960s, and now you have colleges segregating kids. That's just crazy. That's just absolutely crazy. Leslie, let me take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to get into some of your articles and some other issues of the day. Be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Always a lot of fun to chat with our friend Leslie Eastman, great friend of our show and also contributor to Legal Insurrection. Leslie, let's talk about some of the articles that you've written here recently on Legal Insurrection. But I want to talk about several of them, but give me your overview of COVID here in the middle of October 2021. How do you see this thing going?
Okay. So, I wrote a big piece a while back, and you can go to the website and search on the term Russian flu. And here is what I think is going to go down. We actually had a pandemic of a coronavirus that hit people pretty much similarly to the coronavirus as it hits us today. Lack of taste, a lot of gastrointestinal issues, impacted the elderly quite harshly. It came and went in waves, five or six different waves through five or six, seven years. So that is what I think we're going to end up experiencing, waves of coronavirus until all of us have gotten it in one form or fashion, and those who are recovered to the point they've got enough immunity to anytime they get infected with a variant, they've got a mild cold-like condition as opposed to a more serious illness. That's ultimately what I think is going to happen. What is disturbing to me personally is seeing the lack of attention given to treatment, because I think we need to treat our way out of this. I think we need to have inexpensive, effective treatments, because clearly the vaccines are not working like vaccines should. And when I say that, I mean traditionally when you've gotten a vaccine, A, you didn't pass it to anybody, and B, yet you had some lengthy time while you retained immunity. You know, a lot of vaccines like tetanus, you need a booster shot every 10 years. Flu shot, well, the flu comes in a once-a-year shot. Okay, I can do that. This is an experimental mRNA vaccine. They said that it was 90% effective, and in good faith, I took the shots, the two shots, had a bad reaction with the second shot, personally will not be getting any more shots, and that's me. And there were so many health effects and so many serious health effects to boot, reports of strokes, reports of cardiac problems, a number of different occurrences, that is, I find it very troubling that they keep on pressing vaccines. Now they're pressing booster vaccines. Now they're pressing mix and match vaccines. And despite the fact that it is clearly not a serious illness for most normal and healthy kids, they are going to mandate an experimental vaccine because, again, they have only unexperimented, they only authorized or bumped up one of the types of Pfizer's. So these are all, now we're going to get authorization for kids to use it. And that's another thing parents, I reported on recently, are protesting in California, the vaccine mandates. Parents don't want their children exposed to this vaccine because nobody trusts it. It's hard to trust it when you have evidence, like with Colin Powell, double vaccinated, and yet he dies. And then when you look into the data for the first time in the history of the coverage of coronavirus, I'm learning about comorbidities. Now, I covered comorbidities starting early on. I had a big article in 2020 saying the press is neglecting to breast comorbidities. I gave several examples of them, including obesity. And yet, Colin Powell is the first incident of death where they got to explain why he died despite having two vaccines. Well, yeah, he had cancer. Well, yes, clearly he had cancer, and clearly his immune system was not all it could be, and clearly he died of COVID complications because his immune system was shot because of the cancer. Okay, but he was also likely going to pass away of cancer. He was an elderly man and fit nicely into the high-risk profile for a bad COVID outcome, and no amount of vaccination was going to resolve that. And now, as I predicted not long ago, when they authorized the booster, we're going to be seeing instances where people get a third shot, and lo and behold, they get COVID, and that is what we are seeing in Israel. I don't know if that report has come out, but clear, there is a report in Israel of 14 people who received the third, so two plus the booster, and now they're experiencing COVID. So one of the most important things I think we can all do is really press and get our representatives to focus in on effective COVID treatments. One of the things that Governor Rick DeSantis did in Florida so successfully was opened up monoclonal antibody treatments throughout his state, made it easy, made it accessible, made it affordable for every one of his citizens to get the monoclonal antibody treatment relatively early once they got diagnosed. And that is a key to success. I'm sure there are other treatment options out there. I'm sure our pharmaceutical companies can come up with safe, effective, and costly, inexpensive treatment options. But all this attention on vaccines, it's scary. It's chilly. It's clear that our congressional representatives and public health officials have interest in the pharmaceutical industry, and hence the is on vaccine, when it should be in a whole array of things we are looking at, not just vaccines. So, yeah, I do not have a good prognosis. I say COVID is going to be around for a good 4 or 5 more years in certain cycles. Rumor has it that there is a Delta Plus variant coming out of the UK. It's just struck in the United States. So who knows how many more variants we're going to drill down on. There are some good news. Japan, for example, is reporting a serious plunge in its COVID cases, and it may be it went around their country so much because they have pretty stringent rules on foreigners coming in, but their rules are a little less intense internally, so they seem to have turned a corner. So I think Florida has dropped down to the lowest level in the 48 contiguous in the United States, and that's a great job, but you will not hear about it because it doesn't play into the press narrative. Vermont and Maine, highly vaccinated states, are now seeing upticks, but that could be related to weather because now it's cold, people are going indoors, and it is poor ventilation and exposure to viruses in enclosed areas. That's a real contributing factor to getting these vaccinations. So long story short, doubtful vaccines are going to work. Going to see probably at least one or two more cycles, if not three or four, for the next couple of years before all of us catch it, all of us develop some sort of antibody, and then we go on living our normal life.
Yeah. get back to normal at some point, but you say it's going to take a little while, right? That's what I hear you say.
If public health officials were responsible, they would realize this before a number of reasons is now an endemic. It's just going to be part of how we handle it. And we don't lock down because of endemic diseases. We learn to live with them. We wash the hands.
Right.
We stay healthy. We take the vitamin D. We highlight factors such as obesity and other conditions that contribute to poor outcomes. We try and eat sensibly. And this is what a functional society will do in response to an endemic disease. You can't lock down. There's no social distancing it away. There's no masking it away. If masks were going to work, if social distancing was going to work, it would have already worked. We gave it a shot. It's full of fail. And so now it's time to go back to life as normal and just take the type of protections precautions we use for a serious flu and then go on.
It's interesting. I'll just say one more thing here before we move on to another topic. It's interesting, New Zealand, because I remember a year ago, New Zealand was like exhibit A of how to do things. Everybody was praising New Zealand, you know, that they had pretty much done away with COVID. But they really haven't. They're having a very serious problem there. So what, I don't know how much you follow the situation in New Zealand, but what did they do wrong there?
Well, what they did wrong is this. They were always going to have to deal with COVID. By shutting themselves off and sealing themselves off so completely, they kicked the can down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
okay,
again, the coronavirus is in the environment now. It's in animals. It's you know, you can't get rid of it. It is endemic. It's a part of our natural environment now. It was designed to be very sticky to the human respiratory system. It's designed to do exactly what it did, replicate very well in human beings. It also, because it's a coronavirus, finds a nice home in animals like big cats and gorillas, animals around your house, dogs. It just is not going away. So the moment New Zealand opened up to any portion of the world, they were going to start experiencing cases. They simply kicked the can down the road. And unless you want to completely isolate yourself on an island forever and ever and ever, you're going to have to come face-to-face with coronavirus at some point. We all are. And the key, I take my vitamin D. I take a zinc and copper complex. I keep a healthy weight. I exercise every day. I'm just trying to stay as healthy as I can. I took two shots in good faith that wasn't going to be an effective vaccine, and it's going to keep me from getting COVID or catching COVID. I, in good faith, took it. But after the second shot, when I had a nasty reaction that took me quite a bit to recover from, I'm done. I'm out of here. And I'm just, you know, hoping that decision doesn't mean I don't get to travel or, you know, am forced always to limitations. I think that's unfair. And I think those people who've gotten sick with COVID and have natural immunity are better protected than those who have been vaccinated.
Yeah.
So why are we punishing people who opt out not to take the vaccine because they already have COVID? So there's a lot of troubling decisions that have been made, again, by people who want to dominate us, who want to use their power, who want to use their power to gain wealth for themselves because of their connections to the pharmaceutical industry. So it's very hard to know what to trust out there when you're getting COVID news. I'm just looking at data.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just, go on. Please go on.
Oh, no, I was going to say that I took the shots in April. The two shots, there's like 2 weeks apart. I didn't have a bad reaction. In fact, I had no reaction. I thought for a minute there it was not a real vaccine because I had absolutely no reaction. But, it's been whatever it is, 6 months. But I agree with you. I try to stay as healthy as I can. I, you know, try to take vitamins every day and try to stay healthy. You know, I like to take my little walk every other day and get some exercise. But I agree with you. I think we have to really focus on staying healthy. And I thought the case of Colin Powell, before we leave this topic, was interesting because the minute they announced his death, they immediately said he had died of COVID complications. And I said, really? That's what he died of? And then we find out later that he really, it wasn't COVID. It was, I guess, whatever he had, some blood disease or blood cancer or whatever it is. But they immediately tried to make it a COVID case, which makes me wonder how many people have died of COVID who really haven't, Leslie.
It is a question for the ages, mm-hmm. Because there is very little news that our press has offered us that I trust, and this is one of those cases. How many people were going to die of what they died of and just happened to have COVID in addition, like a cold?
Right. Well, most of the people that I've known, you know, just in my circle, I just learned of a very nice young man, 46 years old, who died of COVID. He was not vaccinated, but he died of COVID. Several people in our church who've passed away over the last year, but they were older men and women. They were men and women in their 80s and 90s in many cases. My mother, she was 92 when she passed away. She didn't die of COVID, but she was 92. So, you know, a lot of people have died. But I think the COVID factor has been exaggerated. I keep asking myself the question, how many people have actually died of COVID and how many people have died of something else? Eventually, hopefully, we'll have that information because it'll help us understand what we've been through a lot better, Leslie.
Absolutely. Hopefully, it's hard to say, though. The people in charge of the analysis, in charge of the data, just want to focus on their narrative. So I will recommend to your readers, if you really want to understand COVID, do turn to the British newspapers. They may not be perfect, but they offer a more, shall we say, healthier view that aligns with what is actually going on much more so than the American press does.
Right. Well, the one thing about the British press that I like is that they're not obsessed with Trump. You know, so much of our media is just totally obsessed with Trump. And it just can't seem to let go of Trump. And after a while, it's so predictable that you don't even want to check it because it's just all about Trump. Whereas I think over in Europe, in London, you're getting a little bit better coverage of the news. Let me get to one quick topic here. We're flying. Our time is flying. And you did write a very interesting article. I think it came out today or yesterday about what is happening in Antarctica with the climate. And to tell me about that, because I thought it was great. That article was great. Tell me about it.
Okay. So while we were enjoying a really nice, toasty summer, the Antarctica, and you remember the South Pole,
right.
So they're going through winter while we are having our summer. They have the coldest winter on record with temperatures well below zero and at record-setting levels, which, given how much emphasis has been placed on global warming, the hockey stick, the glaciers are going to melt. In fact, 6 months earlier in April of this year, one of the major media sources said that there's a big glacier that's watchdog glacier, and this is one we got to pay attention to because if this one goes, well, doomed. Antarctica's melting away, yada, 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 yada. And sure enough, it's the record cold winter. And one of the things that our media fails to ever address is the sun, because the sun is the main thing that warms our planet.
Right.
And it has cycles. And sometimes the sun is really super active, and it's got a number of sunspots. Some sunspots are indicative of a lot of solar activity, more solar activity, warmer temperatures, happy, 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 joy, joy, beach, beach, life is good. And then there is low sunspot activity, indicative of much less solar energy. Now, according to charts and analysis by those who do follow the sun, we are entering into what is called a Maunder minimum. It is a low ebb in the solar activity, and it is perhaps referred to as a grand Maunder minimum, which means we can expect to see very extremely low temperatures or lower temperatures because of the substantially reduced solar activity. And there's some reports that they expect the bottom out to happen around 2025. So, again, corresponds with our coronavirus. Once we get rid of Biden, we get rid of the coronavirus, the sun will start warming up and life will be great again.
Well, what's interesting, though, the reason – no, that's great. The reason your article was so interesting, and maybe it's just a coincidence, that I had just seen a note from a friend up in Canada, a couple that I know up there, and they were sending me a note saying that they're forecasting a very terrible winter up in Canada. Now, these folks, they live in Ontario. And I just saw their note, and then a minute later I see your article, and I'm saying, my goodness, it's cooling everywhere, not just in the north but also in the south. And the first thought mm-hmm. that I had was, you know, saying maybe we're entering into a little bit of a cooling age here, you know, like a little ice age for a couple of years, like we've done before. There have been other times when that has happened. So, I mean, it was just curious that I saw your article, that I saw this note from my friend in Toronto, and I said, wow, something is going on here. Maybe it's just a coincidence, Leslie.
Yeah, no, it's exactly, your friends are probably right. It is going to be a bracing winter for them. Courtesy of the sun. And again, when you're driving policy and your scientific, research is dependent on promoting the government line of man-caused global warming, You're not gonna want to offer data that tells a different story. You're not gonna want to do the research that tells a different story. You know, God bless the solar researchers who actually figured this stuff out, because if you kind of know, you can kind of plan ahead. And yes, so tell your friends in Canada that probably till 2025 they're going to be contending with some cold winters, and then it appears that everything is going to start looking up shortly after that.
Well, there's something nice happening in 25. I think that we may have a different president. We certainly hope so. Yeah, I sure hope so, too. Well, Leslie, as always, thank you for your time. So much fun to always chat with you and to talk about a lot of different things. You're such a great contributor to Legal Insurrection. I love your articles. And I learned so much when I read about especially with COVID and all that stuff that you write about. It's so informative. But I want to thank you so much for taking the time tonight and joining us. And, again, what would Halloween be like without a show with Leslie? So we made it another year.
Yeah, go ahead. I just wanted to say that I'm going to be in Richmond, Virginia for the governor's election. So I'm going to be right there. So I'm going to have to make plans to chat with you after I get back to –
Yes, I love that. I would love that because that's a very important election coming up here in, what is it, 2 weeks? It's a super important election, and the polling data right now is too close to call from what I understand. But I want to wish you the very best in that trip and the best to you and to your family. And I cannot wait for our next one. Maybe we will do one about Virginia. That would be a great topic.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Anyway, happy Halloween to you, your family, and little Noah and Lincoln.
All right, I will. I got little Lincoln a crown today, one of those crowns, like the king, a little crown like that. I want to give it to him tomorrow night when we're going to see him. So I'm looking forward to how he's going to react to a little crown. I think Noah is probably a little too young for that, but I think Lincoln may actually have fun with a little crown. You know that Burger King crown? You know what I'm talking about? That's what I
got.
Yeah,
I know. I gave my son one a while back. So yes.
Yeah, well, they were giving
pictures.
Them away. They were giving them away. So I said, you're giving it away? I'll take two of them. But I don't think Noah is going to really – I think Noah is too young. But Lincoln, I think he's going to have a real treat with it. So I'm looking forward to that. I'll show you a photo when I get one.
All right. Perfect, perfect.
All right, Leslie. Thank you so much. Always great having
All
you
right.
on the show, and have a wonderful trip, and look forward to our next time, Leslie.
All right. Bye.
All right. Leslie Eastman, our great friend and contributor to Legal Insurrection. And I learn so much when I read what Leslie writes, especially about COVID and stuff like that. It's really fascinating. She's so well informed, and she takes her time and really studies the issue quite well. And her reporting on the issue is absolutely great. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.